Praise the name of the living God. So when I was thinking of what to share, and I had prepared a sermon, and this morning I was still sitting and preparing, changing the sermon, I felt I want to continue with something I've been talking about in another fellowship. And that is when you find yourself at the crossroads. When you find yourself at the crossroads. Every once in a while, we all come to a crossroads. And often the crossroads has no clear signs or directions. Have you ever come to a crossroads? Maybe I'm the only one. Is there anybody here who has been at a crossroads? Come on, let me get some witnesses. You come to a crossroads. And at the crossroads, you're groping for direction and help. But at times, it is pitch black. Have you ever been in a house and the light goes off? And you don't know. And I grew up in a fairly humble environment. And sometimes the paraffin or kerosene is finished. And you have to feel your way around as you go to your bedroom. And somehow you have the faith to know that this is the bed and there is nothing in there. So when I was young, now I'm going to say this, and unfortunately I'm saying it on the internet. That's okay. So when we were in secondary school, I was cheeky. I wasn't a bully, but I was cheeky because I was small. So there was this boy who always came and he pretended to be reading a lot, and he would come in when we were all sleeping and he made a lot of noise. So we hatched a plan. We said we are going to get, there was a broken window, a cold metal. We are going to put it in his bed. And then because the lights went off automatically, so he comes at night and he's feeling full. He goes into his bed, and you know, in secondary school, you don't even need pajamas, right? So you know what I'm talking about. And so he goes in, and he's covered in a cold metal, and then he goes, "Who did this?" And we're all quiet. And so the next day, he came early to make sure nobody puts a metal in his bed. So we won. But it could be loss of a loved one. One day you're on the top of the mountain rejoicing and praising the Lord. The next day you are losing a loved one. Could be a spouse, could be a parent, could be a child. And you're like, "God, I have prayed. Where did this come from?" Loss of a job. "Lord, I give tithe." And yet your job goes. "Lord, I give tithe," and your business runs down. Health. You are walking and you believe, you are fasting and praying and believing God. You have Holy Communion every Sunday. And then they are telling you, you have this disease, you can't even name it. For some reason, the American, where's Mary? Dr. Mary is not here. But the American Book of Medical Records, or whatever they call it, has over 2,000 diseases listed. 2,000 listed that are recognized by FDA and CDC and NIH. And you're saying to yourself, "Lord, where did that one come from?" Crossroads. Maybe it's not a negative crossroads. You are just at a point where you need to make a business decision. To go or not to go. And maybe you have a short window. You have not done all the analysis and they want you to make the decision and it has to be made now. You have to decide between running a church and running a business or finding a job. Crossroads. Maybe, and I'm going to pick out Pastor Pat here and then talk about myself a little bit. Maybe it is circumstantial separation. And you are at a crossroads. Why am I sitting here at this table eating dinner alone? Why am I at this table eating dinner alone? And my wife is also there eating dinner alone. Crossroads. The first person, welcome, Brother Joshua. The first person to ever find himself at a crossroads was Mr. Adam and Mrs. Eve Adam. What do you do when your firstborn son kills your second son? Do you kill him? As revenge, what do you do? Do you just leave it to be? What do you do? Life at the crossroads. And this is what I was thinking about. And then I began, I tried to dig into the Bible and I realized that everybody in the Bible lived at the crossroads. I literally couldn't find anybody who never lived at the crossroads. So I realized that my sermon today is going to be the longest I've ever given. Because I have all these examples to give you. And those of you who are used to 5 examples and then you say, hallelujah, God bless you, you'll miss the meal. Abraham, a man, probably the only one described like that in the scriptures, as a friend of God. I mean, if God calls me. We all sing here, I am a friend of God. But for Abraham, it is God who said he is my friend. For us, we are the ones saying, we are friends of God. For Abraham, the witness didn't come from Abraham. It came from God. You are a friend of God, but you have no child. I say, God, but if I'm your friend, why don't you give me? All I want is one child. And then, no child. Thank God for wives. Amen. I'm looking at mine. So Mrs. Abraham, Sarah, advises him and says, honey. He said they call themselves honey. Yeah, I sit in my house and I hear them call each other honey. And I say, you guys don't bring bees here. Because there's too much honey in this house. Sarah says, honey. Get Hagar. Do your thing and get a kid. I think Abraham was kind of hoping for it. He didn't even ask questions. He said, good idea. Went, did what he needed to do, and she got pregnant. So you would have expected Abraham to be hallelujah and Sarah also to be saying it worked. It didn't take long. Hagar and Sarah are fighting. Now Sarah turns to Abraham and says, this slave girl of yours, she's abusing me. You are the one who gave her to me. And Abraham says, do to her what you want. Sarah says she must leave. So, the girl leaves. God goes and brings her back. Have you ever tried to get rid of something and God brings it back? What do you do? You've prayed and said, Lord, take away this pain. And God says, my grace is sufficient for you. So Abraham says, okay, let them be there. God is faithful. Sarah gets pregnant. Oh, at 100, if I see any of you after 100 getting pregnant, I'll run away from your home. I'm telling you, if somebody gets pregnant, if
I find a 100-year-old woman pregnant. I think I don't know how to pray. Sarah gives birth. Isaac begins to play with Ishmael. They're just playing like kids, and boys are being boys. That's what boys do. Boys don't play by carrying dolls on their backs. Boys play by throwing each other down and hitting each other a little bit. That's what boys do. Sarah looks and says, "Ah, send your girl away. Send this your child away." And Abraham has to send his wife. No. What was she? Slave. When a slave gives birth to your child, is she still a slave? Anyway, Abraham has to send her away with his child. And firstborn child. And yet firstborn, in their context, is a special person. Crossroads. So she runs off. Second time, God brings her back. Crossroads. So what do you do? Then anyway, look at Genesis 16. Genesis 16. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abraham, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abraham agreed to what Sarai said. So Abraham had been living in Canaan 10 years. Sarai, his wife, took the Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Fast forward, Genesis 21. Verse 8 through 13, the child grew and was weaned, and on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham was mocking. And she said to Abraham, "Get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac." The matter distressed Abraham greatly. Distressed. Have you ever been in distress? Yes. Is there distress even in salvation? Christians get distressed. Abraham got distressed greatly because it concerned his son. But God said to him, "Do not be distressed about the boy and your slave woman. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I'll make the son of the slave into a nation, also because he is your offspring." Lord, I pray that you change this boss. This boss is tough on me. Lord, I rebuke in the name of Jesus. And the Lord says, "Listen to whatever your boss tells you, because I've appointed him to discipline you." I've appointed him to prepare you. Lord, no, in the name of Jesus, we shall be heads and not tails. And the Lord is saying, "No. I've put over you a Muslim man, and he's going to be the boss." Say, "Lord, really? No, this can't be God. This is the devil. In the name of Jesus, I resist." Anyway, fast forward, we go to Isaac. So I went to Isaac. Isaac gave the blessing to the wrong person. Look at the word the Bible uses. Let's read the story. Genesis 27:30-35. When I read the word that the Bible uses to describe Isaac's reaction, I said, "Oh my God." After Isaac finished blessing him, Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau, the one that Isaac wanted to bless, came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said to him, "My father, please sit up and eat some of my game, so that you may give me your blessing." His father Isaac asked him, "Who are you?" "I am your son," he answered, "your firstborn Esau." Look at verse 33. Isaac trembled violently. Now by the time you tremble violently in your bed, that is a lot of crossroads. Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed. When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me too, my father. But he said, your brother came in deceitfully and took your blessing. You mean blessings can be stolen? But then why does God honor this deceit? Crossroads. Why is it that the Arabs have all the oil? And the Israelites, the Jews, they don't even have land to farm. They dig rocks and plant things. Ah, crossroads. Can you give me answers? I know you guys are Bible scholars better than me. Give me the answers. For me, that's how I studied the Word of God. And I'm asking myself, how do you deal with life at the crossroads? Anyway, fast forward, I went to Jacob. Because I said, all these old men, maybe let me try Jacob. And then when I reached Jacob, the crossroads became too many. I didn't know. You know, it's like when you go to Springfield, that intersection, or the one at Route 28. You don't know which route should I take, and you just need one little miss. And Jacob running away from his brother, stole his blessing. He himself cheated many times. He wakes up in the morning. The sun comes up and he looks at the wife he is with in bed and says, no! What happened? Crossroads. Yeah. Ah! He's the only one who is recorded in the whole Bible to have fought with an angel. I don't see any other person who fought with an angel. And not only did they fight, the angel broke his leg. You went to bed, you were a normal man walking. You wake up and you can't walk, you need a stick. Crossroads. Lord, what happened? In the name of Jesus, I rebuke this demon. Ah, it was an angel. Genesis 47, 7 to 10. This is how Jacob summarizes his life. Jacob summarizes his life this way. Then Joseph brought his father Jacob in and presented him before Pharaoh. After Jacob blessed Pharaoh, Pharaoh asked him, how old are you? Very simple question, right? I'm 20 years old. No. And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the years of my pilgrimage are 130. My years have been few and difficult. And they do not equal the years of the pilgrimage of my fathers. Then Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out of his presence. By the time a man is telling you, this is the summary of my life. And I don't know. Maybe there are some of us here who can relate to this and say, honestly, my years have been few. But I have not known joy. I have not known peace. There are people, they have all the money, they can't enjoy it. They have the beds, they can't sleep in them. They have the cars and they are busy running to try and get other cars. This is how Jacob summarizes his life. But note, one of the things that encouraged me when I read this story is that even though his life had been full of struggle, he still had something to give. He had been given something called a blessing. And he was running away with this blessing. And what did he do? He blessed Pharaoh before he went out of his presence. Just because somebody is struggling doesn't mean they don't have a blessing to give you. Do not despise the container of the blessing of God just because it doesn't look pleasant to you. You may not like it. But if that is the container in which God has deposited his blessing, take it. Don't look at the container. Don't miss the word of God because the person who is preaching is not as educated as you want. He's not as handsome as you want or beautiful as you want. That's the person the Lord has chosen. And that's the person in whom the Lord has deposited your blessing. Praise the name of the living God. I'm finishing. Life at the crossroads. That's the first time I'm finishing. Brother Morris, two more. I could go on and talk about David. Shall we finish? His son, before even he gets married, he's singing and playing harps in the palace. But then he has to run away from the king, for whom he plays, and the demons run away. Not only that, he's just slaughtered a giant and saved the entire nation of Israel from shame. And the people who should be praising him and singing for him, they're now looking for him with spears. And he's running away. And the only sword that can protect him is the sword of the man he killed. Oh my goodness. Life at the crossroads. David, his own son, is taking his wives and sleeping with them in broad daylight. His son is kicking him from the kingdom. Lord, what is going on? I could talk of Ruth. I could talk of Esther. I could go on the entire Bible. But then I come to the question, what do you do when you come to a crossroads? And I have only 10 minutes to finish. I have just 5 thoughts that I put down for myself. These are not the how-to. No, this is not a formula. These are some thoughts that I believe can help us, because they will help me, they have helped me. And I'll summarize them as follows. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18 through 26. The Bible says, "Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is God of justice. Blessed are all who wait on the Lord." The Lord longs to be compassionate to us. Even when we are at the crossroads, even when we are confused, even when things are not adding up, even when we are perplexed, even when we are being taken advantage of, even when everybody else despises us, the Lord longs to be gracious and compassionate to us. And let us remember, if nobody will understand me, the Lord will. If nobody will forgive me, the Lord will. If nobody understands me, the Lord does. If nobody thinks I'm of worth anything, the Lord does. And I can depend on the compassion and the graciousness and the justice of our God. Hallelujah. So when you sang that song, "God is good, brother, you hit a note in my heart." I love that song. The other day, my mother on her deathbed was reminding me, said, "Do you remember how you would sing that song? 4 hours driving and we are in the car, and the car didn't have a radio, and all I was doing was singing that song, and I didn't even know. And I'm singing 'God is good' 4 hours." And they all had to sing 'God is good' anyway. Because let me tell you, brethren, God is good. Not because of. No. God is good. In spite of. God is good. And he goes on to say, "People of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more." Hallelujah! Amen. Oh! The Lord says you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you to the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." Then you will desecrate your idols overlaid with silver and your images covered with gold. You will throw them away like a menstrual cloth and say to them, away with you. He will also send you rain for the seed you sow in the ground, and the food that comes from the land will be rich and plentiful. In that day your cattle will graze in broad meadows. The oxen and donkeys that work the soil will eat fodder and mash, spread out with fork and shovel. In the day of great slaughter, when the towers fall, streams of water will flow on every high mountain and every lofty hill. The moon will shine like the sun, and the sunlight will be seven times brighter, like the light of seven full days, when the Lord binds up the bruises of his people and heals the wounds of his afflicted. Praise the name of the living God. You will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And the Lord will heal the brokenhearted. He will bind you up. Whatever bruises you have got as a result of being at that crossroads, the Lord says he cares. He will heal you. He will nurture you. He will nurse you. Praise the name of the living God. God is good. God is good. Seek the counsel of the Lord through prayer and the word of God. Brethren, I know it can be very difficult to pray when you are at a crossroads. But pray. 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 And let me encourage you. Praying alone is good. But praying alone is difficult. Have you ever gone to pray and you wake up and you say, I thought I was praying. I have. Let me tell you, one day I came here to pray alone, and I was in prayer and fasting. And I prayed, I enjoyed praying, walking around, and I prayed walking around, and I walked and walked and walked. And you know, and then I finished. I said, now let me go and lay on the altar and pray from there. And I came on the altar. I started by praying this way. But because God has blessed me with a slightly better stomach than most of you, you know, it was not sitting comfortably. So I said, let me lay on my back. And I woke up and I said, I thought I was saying, I was praying. But pray. However, I want to encourage each one of you. Tap into a prayer meeting. And God has blessed us. One of the good things that came out of COVID, is Zoom. We have a prayer meeting that Pastor Pat leads. And actually, I meant to give Pastor Pat a moment to say hello. How did I forget that? Pastor Pat, I'll give you time. But there's a prayer meeting that Pastor Pat leads, and Pastor Daphne. It happens every Tuesday at 6:30. You don't have to be a member of this church to tap into that prayer meeting. But we've prayed in that prayer meeting and we see things happen. Amen. We've prayed for people that were sick and they've been healed. People that didn't have employment and they got employment. Relationships that were broken. There is this lady, I'll not name her, but when I say her testimony, many of you will remember. I mean, every time we would be praying, she would be saying, my children are coming at each other's throats like there is hell in the house. I don't understand. So one of the kids ran so far away to try and be safe. And every day this lady will always say, pray for my kids. Pray for my kids. God must restore. And the other day she said, I can't believe it. That my children can sit down for a whole day and they are talking and they are at peace. And she said, let's pray. And she never comes to the church. But she's praying. So please come and let's pray. Amen? Get somebody you can pray with. Get a friend you believe in. Get a brother, a sister, a pastor, a leader. Somebody you can pray with and pray. Number two. Joshua chapter 24 verse 14 to 18. I'm watching the clock. I'll use 5 or 10 minutes extra. Joshua 24. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods our ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River
and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on the entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. And my note says, develop a personal relationship with the Lord. Salvation is not grupo. It's not a group thing. No. It's as for me and my household. I don't know how you relate with your God. But me, I relate with my God. You know? I increasingly have learned that each one of us must pave a personal relationship with God. I know how I talk to my God. You know how you talk to your God. I cannot do it for you, and you cannot do it for me. And therefore, you don't even need to feel angry because I'm not doing it your way. If you wake up at 3 a.m. to pray and me, I'm at that time enjoying sleep, the Bible says he gives his loved ones sleep. So I'm in the blessing of the Lord. You don't castigate me and say, because I don't wake up at 3 a.m., I'm less holy. Amen? Develop a personal relationship with your God. Three small things and I'm done. Acts chapter 11, verses 21 to 24. Thank you very much, Brother Doug. I appreciate you. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Verse 22, news of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. He encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. My note says, determined to serve the Lord in season and out of season. There will be good seasons. Amen? Whenever a promotion is for you, there will be seasons when every good thing, you are the one they name. But there will also be seasons. This is not a prophecy. It's just a declaration of the truth. There will be seasons when you are like, God, where are you? Where are all those miracles I used to hear about? What has happened? But determine to serve the Lord in season and out of season. First, that word. Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 to 24. Very briefly. Reject every kind of evil. Do you realize that in all these passages, the first thing that precedes is reject evil. Put away idols. Put away the gods of your fathers. Reject every kind of evil. Verse 23. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Trust in the faithfulness of God. Amen. You know, these days in corporate world, there's a phrase that people really love. It's called trust the process.
But it's usually the bosses who will tell you that. Trust the process. And you're like, yeah, I trust the process, but I can't see. Either it is taking too long, or I can see it is not favoring me. And they say, trust the process. I say, okay, I'm trusting the process, but... But listen, trust the one who called you. Trust the one who called you. The Bible says he who called you is faithful and he will do it. You lose it when you think it is your wisdom. You lose it when you think it is because you are a good schemer. You lose it when you begin to manipulate. You lose it when you begin to use human effort and human knowledge and human wisdom. Yesterday we had a debate with my wife what it means to use human wisdom. And we were, you know, that's how we sharpen each other's understanding of Scripture. And she brings a perspective and I bring a perspective. What does it mean? But how often do we trust in our own abilities and wisdom? Because we have money, you trust in the money you have. You trust in your last name, you trust in what you look like. You trust in all these things, but not the Lord. And the Bible says, trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. But how often do we all lean on our own understanding? As far as I know, that can't work. I am experienced, you know. 30 years of experience. 60 years of experience. It can't. And the Lord is saying, get a stick, throw it on the water, and the axe will float. And you are saying, the laws of physics do not support that. Lean not on your own understanding. Philippians 1:6. Knowing this, that he who began the good work will bring it to completion. Philippians 2:13. Philippians 2:13 says, it is God who is at work, who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Let me tell you, brethren, there is nothing that happens to us that is accidental. There is nothing that happens that is accidental. My wife used the word and I said, wow, that's a powerful word. He said, God orchestrates events. And I'm sure each one of us here can testify and say, God was behind that, orchestrating that. I remember there was a time I was traveling so much. I had just come from UK, Canada, we were in Uganda. And I said, no, I went on one of these trips to go with my wife. I don't think I even knelt really and prayed, but it's one of those that you say, Lord, I mean, I just want to be able to travel with my wife. Go to this. We had been to UK together and we had gone back. And that time I was traveling and I get an email. And in the email, somebody is saying to me, Mr. Dombo, we would like you to come to Germany to come and talk about peace in Somalia. Peace in Somalia? Me? I'm in Uganda. Somalia is a word I don't know. And the previous week, I had got an email from Germany saying to me, we would like you to come to Germany to come and speak at the expo, the German expo. And you're going to be here for 2 weeks at the German expo. And they had bought me a ticket and I'm holding a ticket. And a part of me is saying, oh, hallelujah, these things are coinciding. Oh, yeah, because the other one was happening like 3 days earlier. And the Spirit of the Lord says to me, but you asked that you wanted to travel with your wife. So I write to them. This other group, asking me to go and talk about Somalia. He said, I'm already holding a ticket. Is it possible for you to use that money and you pay for my wife to come with me instead? They said, we don't care as long as you get here. I said to my wife, we are going to Germany. That increased the number of years to 40. Praise the name of the living God. He will do it. He will do it because he has said, this is my church. I will build my church on the rock and the gates of hell shall never prevail against it. God is orchestrating and fulfilling his purposes in us. And when you think that you are at the crossroads and you make a mistake, I like what Pastor Pat often says, God is the only person who is able to take our mistakes and turn them around into blessings for us. Praise the name of the living God. God bless you. And with those words, I have just delivered my last sermon. Here, now Pastor Bill, the rest you can now put off. Now we are going to speak ordinary things. You can now disconnect those on the internet. But with those words, I've just preached my last sermon to you. Because I, as my wife indicated, the Lord has opened a door for us to move into a different direction. I have been praying and asking the Lord and praying for wisdom, and that's why I'm talking about crossroads. Talk about crossroads. I am praying and believing that God is going to fill this church. And then crossroads comes, and I need to travel to go and work elsewhere. And the Lord has opened a door for me to go and work in Ethiopia as a country director of an organization called Food for the Hungry. And this happened rather faster than I thought. Earlier on, I had thought, they had told me it was going to take about 4 to 6 months for the process to play out as they work, they generate the work permit. And then I was here on Sunday. We talked about it with the church. I did not give them much detail because I knew 4 to 6 months. I was just preparing them so we can talk about it. The following morning, I opened the email, and the email tells me, we would like you next week. And because they are doing a planning, the annual planning process, and they had wanted me to be there last week to be part of the annual planning process. And I say, no way, I cannot. I had just talked with Pastor Pat, and I didn't give him much detail because I didn't have much detail. And just like that, overnight, they are saying, we would like you. So we talked through, and that's partly why we brought our celebration to this day. Because by the grace of God, tomorrow morning, I will be on the flight off to Ethiopia, Addis Ababa. And with that move, that means my pastoral duties and roles are temporarily, I'm putting them on hold. Now, I'm sure the questions that are going on in your minds are the same questions going on in my mind. So what next? What happens to the church? What do we do? We are going to be talking. We'll continue to pray. But I've talked with the leadership of the church, and they know exactly what they would like to do. I'm sure they've talked to some of you. But for now, I know, Pastor Pat, why don't you come and say something and pray over us? For now, I know that Pastor Pat will continue to be around to minister to us the way he has ministered. He has been an anchor. I love this man. I love this man. God bless you, Pastor. God bless you. You know, when my family prayed, when we first came here looking for a church, I went on the internet and I picked a church in Vienna because we lived in Fairfax. Mm-hmm. And I read everything on the website and I said, yes, I agree with this doctrine. This is the church. So very early in the morning, I got my, those days there were no GPS, so I got my map drove God to the church. When I reached the church, you don't want to know. I went and sat at the back. And the pastor continued to say his thing up there, and then somebody else came after me. And he entered, and the pastor immediately said, "Oh, brother, you're welcome." And I'm like, I also came. Anyway, at the end of the service, I go to say hello to the pastor. And he says to me, "Brother, there are also other churches around here."
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So I said, "Thank you very much. I'll go and look for those other churches." So I continued to look for a church. And then one day I'm driving and I saw a big signpost, Grace Covenant Church. And I said, "Yes. Anything to do with the grace, I am there." There were, again, I didn't have maps. I had a map, I did not have. So I'm driving and I had a bus full of young people. And they're asking me questions. And I'm driving and I don't know where I'm going. I'm taking the wrong turn. And they're saying, "But it's getting late." And I say, I know. Can't you be? Anyhow, eventually I lose this Grace Covenant Church after driving around here for long. But I see another church. There's the word grace on it. I say, "Let's go here. This one will work." But I'd say to myself, if I go to a church and I'm welcome, we'll stay there. So we went in. And we were welcomed warmly. And you were not there that day, I think. You were not there that day. Soon after that, we got letters. Everybody, individualized welcome letters. I said, "This is our church. This is our church." And for me, it didn't matter what happened. We had found our church. And just sitting at your feet and hearing you teach the word and the Lord connecting us and making us one has always been a blessing. Amen. And you are a man of God. You're a pastor. I'm not saying this to praise you. You know, I've said this when we were two and when we are crying tears to each other. You're a man of God and you've been a blessing, and I thank God for you. So, brethren, Pastor Pat, God bless you. I love you. I'll miss all of you. But pray for me. But every time I'm back in town, we are together.
Amen.
Pastor Daphne is trying to photograph these two men. So let's give her this good photograph. I know she wanted both of us, but I really know she's also saying thank you, Lord.
Amen.
God bless you, Father.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. So thank you for that sermon. He said he's putting his pastoral duties on hold for now. For now. So the question becomes, what now? What now? And I'm simply going to share. I just want to encourage us some things the Lord teaches you, you find out in the process. You don't know it ahead of time. But let me say something that I've been saying for years, and that is this. God goes before us. Wherever we're going, God's there before you get there. So when he was talking about the crossroads, before you get to the crossroads, God is standing at the crossroads. And he's always saying, "Walk toward me in faith." Okay? So my father is constantly speaking by the power of the Holy Spirit, speaking to me, "Son, where you're going, I already am. Because I am." Okay, so he's in our present, he's in our past, and he's in our future. So we have no reason to fear the future. Why? He's Lord over my future. He's Lord over all of my days. So where we are right now, he already is. When the three Hebrew boys fell down in the fire, the reason why they were able to stand up was because he was already in the fire. God's in the fire before you ever get there. I want us to be encouraged today that God is in the fire before you get there. So when you get there, don't freak out. "Oh God, what am I going to do?" No, calm down and know, oh, my God is here. Paul, when he went to Corinth to preach, He was afraid. He didn't know what would happen to him. He said, this night the angel of the Lord stood beside me and said, fear not, Paul. I have many people in this city. I won't allow them to hurt you. Okay, so what now? Nova worship. The Lord has gone before you. Deuteronomy 31, when they were going into the promised land, Moses told them, the God who brought you out of Egypt is going before you into Canaan. So before you ever get there, he's already there. That's what we have hope and faith and trust in. He's in our tomorrow today. This is why we don't have to worry about Monday. Anybody worried about Monday? You worried about Tuesday? Worried about next week? Stop worrying. God's already there. And what did Pastor Moses and Sister Jessica say we know about God? He is good. So goodness is in my future. Goodness is waiting for me in the person of who God is. So what we're going to do is look forward, be at peace, be at rest. What happens here with Nova Worship? What happens with the Hispanic church? What happens with our church? I've been actually saying in regards to where we're going to meet and, you know, all that would happen here. I'm not worrying about it. I think about it every now and again. But when I think about it, I say, yes, Father. And you were there before the foundation of the world. You who have been faithful and have cared for us up to this day. When our pastor died 20-some years ago, maybe 24 years ago. Now, that day, I remember it like it was today. And God took us and sheltered us and kept us and brought us to this place where we are right now. He's faithful. So I just wanted to encourage us with that. We're going to pray, and then we're going to bless the time, the food, and then we'll get together and have a good time of fellowship. Amen. Father, we thank you now for, Lord, all the times, the years, the seasons that you have given us. Lord, your word says there is a time and a season for every purpose under heaven. Lord, we're coming to the end of one season and the beginning of another. Father, we thank you, O God, that you are sovereign over, as Pastor Moses said, you are sovereign over all things. Lord, that you orchestrate. You close doors and you open doors. Lord, you call seasons to ends and times to change. And Father, we pray, Lord, as you've opened this door of work and vocation for Pastor Moses in Ethiopia, Father, we thank you that you have gone ahead of him. Lord, oh, double shy. Father, I thank you for relationships that are already in place, oh God, that he would speak into people's lives and change the course, Lord, of programs, of destinies, oh God. Lord, as he stands in the place that you've ordained for him, oh God, not only as a worker, but as a man of God who would proclaim the word of God. Lord, who has been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. Lord, that you would use him according to your eternal purpose and plan. Father, we thank you, O God, for the Hispanic church, for Nova Worship, for the Father's house. Lord, for all that you have overseen for us. Lord, we thank you, O God, Lord, that your goodness is apparent, O God, and that you do not change. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So your faithfulness, O God, endures throughout all generations. And so, Father, I ask your blessing. I ask your clarity. I pray, O God, Lord, for your guidance, Lord, over Nova Worship, Lord, over the Church of God, Lord, over over whatever decisions and transitions that must be made, over the Hispanic Church, over the Father's house. Lord, we know that all these things are in your hand. And Father, we pray, Lord, that things would be brought about as you've decreed it from heaven. So let it happen here in the earth to the glory of God, we pray. We ask your blessing now upon this food, upon our fellowship, upon our celebration, Lord, that it would be full and led by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said amen. 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 God bless you.